the first item on our agenda is to have Mike come up and talk about the conservation district.
If he's all the same thing,
three different ones. I think he's all of them.
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
So, we met last meeting about the remodel in general, and since that meeting, we were able to finalize. There was a question that around the fire alarm system,
right?
And Dan made the commitment to get it done with the money we had left over in our budget. Since that time, we did get the bid back from the vendor, and it was under what the remaining budget was. So that is solidified, the fire alarm system portion of it. So really, the fire sprinkler system is the outstanding item still that does not have any funding tied to it, and that is the bids we received. We picked the lowest bid for that, and it's basically $100,000 is the shortfall to having this project complete as a whole with a sufficient fire suppression system in case there ever was a fire in that building at some point in time. I have done a little bit of digging, trying to chase some other funding to help make this go, and have hit some dead ends, but am still continuing to look for grants or something that I can do to help offset it, but I have yet to come up with any viable options for that to help fill that shortfall at this time. So I guess the question is if the commission's willing to fill that shortfall of $100,000 for this fire sprinkler system in that building.
Now, are you asking for that in the form of a loan?
I guess I would entertain either way. My board is neutral on a loan or just a supplement to our budget for this fiscal year, but a supplement to the original motion back in March for the when we got the original allocation. Either way to us at this point is sufficient just to keep the project whole as designed and moving forward.
Well, I think we're interested in trying to keep the project whole. I'm willing to entertain discussion because I'm not sure how the commission would like to go about trying to help keep that project whole.
Mr. Chairman, our original discussion was when we agreed to funding the project was with the idea that we would no longer, once that project is complete, we'd no longer be paying rent on the building. So do you have, and I don't off the top of my head, what that annual amount was that we pay for rent?
Yeah, so the last three fiscal years has been just for the detached garage behind the building that we currently reside in, and that was $18,600 a year. Prior to that, three fiscal years ago, and just to brief the commission on the history, we used to sublease our portion of the office space from NRCS, and I'm going to be rough on those numbers because I didn't grab that part of the file, but it was roughly about $40,000 for that office space. And three years ago, roughly, the state conservationist for NRCS said that money went to D.C. to a black hole she never got. She expended the whole building's rent but never got any money back into her budget for the sublease, and so she was willing to waive that. And the concern we've had since then is we removed it from our budget during the down downslide in the economy. But the worry we always had was a new state con or direction from D.C., because it's a verbal thing.
They're going to get in trouble eventually.
And then we would have to rent again. So the short answer is right now it's 18,600. The long answer, it was closer to 50-ish, if I remember right, when we had to pay for both portions.
Okay, so that...
annually.
My other question then, if we did it in the form of a loan, is that my concern is with the district, without renting, without finishing the building and having additional income from NRCS, is the district capable of paying that loan back without negatively influencing the other programs, ongoing programs that you do?
Not without trying to find another source of revenue to offset that loan requirement. I guess it'd depend. I mean, I can't answer specifically depending on, you know, the term of the loan, you know, what the terms and conditions are of the loan. But it would definitely be tight, because we've held static on our budget for the last 3 fiscal years without increasing the request for our programs, and had we're short for 3 permanent staff to still continue the services. So cutting into that would probably somewhat potentially jeopardize programs.
So I guess that's my questions, Mr. Chairman, but in lieu of that, and considering the fact that the Conservation District is a sister agency of government, they're not a 501c3 or anything like that, they have no mill levy, I guess my inclination is to go ahead and add $100,000 to the original portion of the project, finish the project. And then if and when NRCS gets around, if they in the future remodel that upstairs with the idea of leasing it to NRCS, then that portion should be a loan, because they will then have the ability to pay that back from their lease fee. That's kind of my thoughts.
So what you're saying is we have an agreement with you guys from a budgetary standpoint. When you come to request money for your budget, you were not going to request the same amount, or you were going to lower your request because of what we gave you to get your project started. Am I correct?
So the looking back at the motion, it was that we would no longer have a line item for any kind of a rental. In there. Obviously, some of that would probably have to go to some utility stuff, but yes, it would be more or less, we would not have an increase ask or a line item ask for any kind of rental for office space that
so
we currently have.
So translated to us, that means that we were expecting that your budget request would go down by the dollar amount that we were line iteming for the rental.
It wasn't specifically dollar for dollar due to some utility.
Right, right.
But it would be no more.
Right.
And there would no longer be a rental. Chairman Nelson at the time made definite that he would no longer support a rental, obviously, line item.
So what Commissioner Bousman is saying is that we add the $100,000 to what we did here, and then if you find a renter at some point in time, then we come back and we renegotiate this as a loan.
No.
Okay.
The fixing of the upstairs is what I think Joel
was
referring to.
If they have an option to rent, they would have to do some further remodeling.
Absolutely.
And put more money into fixing upstairs.
But those people are going to have to put the bill.
And if we advance the money to do that, it would be a loan
right
at that time.
Okay.
And not, because they'd have the ability to pay it back.
Mr. Chairman, that was the intent of the original motion, was the portion, any portion that was for tenants being in RCS would be a loan and would be paid back in full.
Right.
And I believe the term was 5 years, because that's the term of their lease to recuperate the money.
But actually, we're back to talking about the original project, which is what we agreed to in terms of paying for that building.
Correct.
Yeah. And now we're looking at having to increase the amount allocated for the construction of that building in order to include the fire suppression, and that's going to amount to another $100,000.
Mr. Chairman.
That's correct.
Question for Mike. So above and beyond the budget request you get from us, how much money roughly do you take in from your pass-through monies from other entities, such as projects?
So how much of the rest of our budget is non-commissioned?
Yes.
Or non-county taxpayer?
What's your income?
It's about 60% non-county this year.
So 60% of your revenues is outside of us.
Mm-hmm. And those are directly tied to, like you said, like pass-throughs. They're going to projects on the ground. We don't, it's not income to help us sustain operation. Mm-hmm. It's income to help producers develop, like our Water Development Commission grants for small waters projects, or the Roosevelt Fire Rehab, or Wyoming
correct
Range.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you retain some of that pass-through money.
Yeah, if you want to call, yeah, we do. Our pass-through is 1%. So it's pennies.
Not a lot. Okay.
We're, yeah, when the university's retaining 20, we retain 1. That's why we...
Is that on all your projects? Is it a set?
It varies. Sometimes it's 0. Like the Roosevelt Fire grants that we're doing, it's 0. We don't retain anything. We're trying to put all that on the ground. And some grants will not let you retain admin fees. Wyoming Natural Resource Trust Fund will not let you retain an admin fee. So if we get a grant to do that for like the Cliff Creek Fire, we had to eat all our admin fees, all the money it costs to cut checks, administer the grant, just because of the way that grant's written. So basically what we bring in a year is what you're trying to get to, I believe. It's about $8,000 a year is all the income we get to put forth to administration of our office.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So, Mr. Chairman, a question, Mike. The fire suppression is two different things, is it not? Is that what I understood last time?
Yeah. So because the attic space is so large, the fire marshal, according to the vendor, which they're the experts and they deal with the state fire marshal all the time, the state fire marshal is going to require a dry system in the attic because it's not heated. So it's a system charged with nitrogen gas that then once the gas escapes, there's a pressure system, then water flows. The bottom portion that's heated will be a wet system, so there'll be water right at the valve like there is at this system right above us. And there was an increased cost, and he didn't break it out, dry versus wet, but there was an increased cost because the dry system requires more electronics to function properly.
And does it require a recharge, so to speak, if it's used?
If it's used, yeah, then you're going to have to, I'm speculating, but you're going to have to drain the lines, recharge it with nitrogen, and go on. But hopefully it's never they can test it without having to charge it. I do know that much. They don't have to charge the dry system to test it annually.
So one more small follow-up, if you would. So if you ultimately down the road and then you rent out and have to redo the upper portion of it, is that going to change the fire suppression system?
There will be some more sniffers or detectors for smoke that will have to be added, but the way they're running it, all the sprinklers will already be ran because that's a space. In the meantime, it's going to be storage because we're load-bearing the bottom ceiling, So there'll be storage up there and an open roof, so they'll, or open ceiling, so they will have to have a sprinkler in there.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we amend our contribution to the conservation district to include the cost of the fire suppression system. And I don't know, it's $100,000 the exact amount based on the bid, Mike?
No, the bid is $98,750.
$98,750. Okay. A second. Okay. Care to have the motion made by Commissioner Balvin, seconded by Commissioner Rawhauser?
Yes.
And a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I guess it might be a little late for the question, but we have the money. A place to go find it?
We'll have to look.
Okay.
I don't know right off.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
To tag along with this, it might behoove, we have an MOU with you guys that has a dollar amount tied to it. Mm-hmm. That probably needs amended as well at the same time. And then an MOU, then the amendment probably will need re-signed by my chairman and you as the chairman of this commission.
Can we include that in the motion?
That's
motion
friendly
to include
amendment.
The MOU.
What question on the funding? My thought is, even if there's not that amount, with in addition to the amount we've already committed, would we not be able to take that out of next year's budget, or at the next transfer we could include it?
I would have to look into it. Yeah. Okay.
The question would be, is it with this work, is it possible that these monies would not come due till after March, at which time we may have a budget transfer? How soon are they going to be needed?
Mr. Chairman, I think because of the way the project's going, it's not going to be done until the 1st of May or 1st of June, that March transfer is ample time.
So
and
that
I'm sure I can work with Dan to make sure that'll work.
That was my thought.
Yeah, and that would be the answer to your question. Any more comments? If not, we have a motion to and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now, Mike, Matt, if you could come up here just for a second. I was handed this morning, and it has to do with the scope of agreement for Dan Liske in terms of, I think we had approved the contract, and there was something contingent upon insurance or something that had to be approved. They're asking me to sign this contract. That appears to be something that was approved previously, but I'm not sure.
Is it possible it's with the fire hall?
No, because I asked Kerry about this morning. He said this was... That's what I thought originally.
No, I don't know. I was just
because that's what Todd had talked to me about was an amendment or something with the fire hall, not with the conservation district.
From what I got from Todd and from Premier is that the contract was already approved. We were waiting on the bond and the insurance to be included, and that's what's included there that needs a final signature.
But I'm thinking that project was the fire hall. That's why, I mean, I had talked to Todd previously. That's why I just wanted you to.
Mike did send me this last week, and I reviewed it, and I didn't have any issues. So I have reviewed the contract, and it's good to go.
So this is a contract that's already been approved.
By the commission?
By the commission.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking.
I'm not aware. I know I reviewed it, and I have no red flags. But I don't know if the commission has formally voted on it.
I agree with you. We voted on approving Dan Liske as the contract. We awarded him that contract at the last meeting.
Right.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. I mean, I was just handed this morning, and it's a standard form of agreement between owner and construction manager. And it says the agreement was made the 29th day of January. So I imagine that's because it was approved in a previous meeting. I'm just, you have approved it. I guess the question is, we obviously approved it, but I'm a little bit confused.
So am I.
Okay. So maybe I can shed some light on it, hopefully.
Yeah.
So the MOU, so you guys approved the hiring of the architect, which is JRW and Associates, and that contract was signed November, December of last year, I believe. And then in that MOU, it says the commission's going to pay up to this amount for architectural and construction services for the remodel. And then basically the way I took that, and then there's in there, it gives the Conservation District Board of Supervisors administration of the project, and you guys were gonna pay the bills. And so I went forth with the architect that you guys approved back in November,
right,
to go to this RFP for a CMAR at risk, whatever, deal. And we picked Dan and brought that forth to you guys in an update. And then at the last meeting, I discussed it again with you guys, and then the architect drawed up this plan to move forward on the proposed budget of the $322,000 that we had already approved minus the suppression system.
So this is just something that was pending until he showed proof of insurance, is that correct?
More or less.
Okay.
And then obviously we're probably going to have an amendment for this $100,000.
Right.
That'll probably come as soon as probably next meeting.
Right.
To amend the contract to include that amount that for that work.
Okay. Because I know we had approved Liskey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just, this was just delayed because he had to come up with proof of insurance, yeah, which is what is in here. So okay, we're good then. Okay. Just wanted to be sure. You want to hand that to Karen?
I believe there is two pages to that. Or two copies. That. Maybe not.
All I know is
it's just the first two pages there, Mike.
Is there another one you need to sign?
They just wait to one signature.
Yeah, it looks like it might
That's
be
the only one right here.
Order.
I think it's two copies. Two of
them. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Same thing over again.
And I guess you can do the printed name and title. Okay. So does that cover everything, Mike?
I do have an update for you guys on the Upper Green grazing decision.
Okay.
The Forest Service issued a draft final recorded decision to the cooperating agencies, which is you guys as commission, the Conservation District, and the state of Wyoming. Last Friday, I believe, is when it came out. I have reviewed it once, continuing to go through it piece by piece based on our objections that both the commission and the district, as well as permittees, objected to. They did make some changes. They didn't make them all, so I'm now trying to work with the permittees affected to make sure that either they can live with it or they can't. There's still some pretty drastic consequences in there that they're going to have to flesh out as the ones using the permit to see if we take it to the next level of action, which unfortunately, if we can't negotiate it prior to issuing, is an appeal. And the permittees are aware of that. And they are weighing that action if they're gonna tie it up. We know it's probably going to get appealed by the special interest groups because it does basically still have a lot of their concerns or their objections in there. They did not get changed as far as one allowing grazing period or some of the use standards or actions taken on grizzly bears or wolves if they depredate. So some of that is out of the forest control anyways because wolves are managed by the state and the grizzly bear is managed by Fish and Wildlife Service. But at this time we're reviewing. I've been keeping Joel in the loop with my review, and we've been talking with our counsel, which is Connie Brooks and Associates, that we have hired through a grant we received through the FINRPA account jointly from the governor's office. So we're working through that to make sure that we're doing it everything with good legal standing.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
One thing as a cooperating agency we need to keep in mind as well is whatever we agree to here is probably going to become the standard going forward for any other grazing permit renewal. So I guess in that light, Mike, how would it be hard for you to get a summary of our sticking points?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got those based on the objection process, and I can just delete the ones that they have satisfied.
Could you do that and get them back out to us, or to me at least? And then I guess question for you, Doug, have you reviewed this? You're one of the permittees. Do you
have
thoughts on that?
I have not. I have some thoughts, but they wouldn't be as pertinent probably as they should be. But no, I agree with what Joel says. If we can see the bullet points, if you would.
Yeah, I can this week go get them polished up, and then I'll send them to you, and you can share them with the commission.
Okay, and then at some point, I guess we need to collectively with county, the district, and the state weigh the pros and cons of, you know, where do we go from here? Are we gonna object or not?
Well, we've already objected.
Well, are we going to appeal?
Yeah.
And which would mean going to court.
Yeah, right? And I think the next step before that is going to be, figuring out if what our minimum need is to not take that next step, and
so
sitting down as a cooperating agency with the forest and saying, this is all you need to do to have us on your side, helping you against the special interest groups, and see what they say.
Yeah, see what their response
is. Yeah, and it's tough right now because legislature's in session and Department of Ag and Game and Fish are right in the middle of that, which this week was going to follow up and try to see if they've had a chance to look at it, and then get with the Upper Green Grazing Association and see what they're, because they're a partner in the objection. They've helped foot some of the bill, and then see where we sit on the objection process to see how to move forward.
Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions for Mike? Thanks for that report, Mike.
All righty.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Keep us focused.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Our next item would be to have Sheriff Leah. If you could come up. Sheriff, we have an MOU.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Case.
Hi, Casey.
Do you want me to go or do the MOU?
Yes, please.
Okay. We have an MOU. We need a motion to approve between the Prince Edward County and the town of Pinedale regarding boarding of impounded animals. And what I need a motion to accept the MOU as presented between Summit County and the town of Pinedale.
Mr. Chairman, question first. I didn't see anything about fees in the MOU.
There are.
Are they in there?
$20 per day per dog, $15 per day per feline.
Okay, somehow I missed that.
Yep, up to not to exceed 5 days.
Are you comfortable
with
the MOU?
Matt, Mayor Murdoch, Ed Woods, and myself have been working on this for the last few months, and I believe we're all comfortable with it.
All right, got it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So can you give me a little oversight of this and why it's come about?
Yeah, so we've never had a memorandum with the town. So the town has its own animal control officer. They have their own town, so to speak, out at the town hall. We have a county animal control officer. So what we've done in the past, any dogs or cats that we either impound or find abandoned or stray, we will contract with several of the surrounding vets to keep these animals. What's come into question in the past is if we get a stray or an abandoned animal in town, we haven't had the access to the town pound, so to speak. In working with Mayor Murdoch, they are allowing us to board animals that we would either find abandoned or capture in town at the town facility for the same cost as what it's costing us to use the local vets.
Basically, we have an animal control officer for the county, but we don't have a kennel or place to impound them.
No, I understand that, but if they're in the town limits, do they come under your purview, or that's not?
We handle the call. The call will come into the sheriff's office. If the town animal control officer isn't available at the time, we'll go ahead and take the call, take the animal, and then do the impound. So this MOU will grant us access key to the town pound where we can put the animal in, give them food and water, and then when they come back on working hours, we'll just let them know that we've impounded an animal at that time.
Mr. Chairman, so yes. When you get the call to your dispatch, do you then call the town animal control guy and try and hand that off to him?
Yes.
And if he's not available, then you stand.
Then we take care.
That way we're not taking
care. So what kind of numbers are we talking normally? Fluctuates, I assume.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue came up is when we arrest an individual in town and they have animals. You know, we have an obligation to care for those animals, and so cost was the big thing. We were allowed to use the town pound at the time, but we were getting depending on how long they were in jail, we were amassing a very substantial amount of money, and these individuals that we arrested were not able to, or they refused to reimburse the town, so it fell on the county to pay that. And so that's why we have the maximum amount that we will pay. If the individual cannot pay for their animal, then it'll go up for adoption, and if they can't adopt it out, then it'll be euthanized. Yeah.
I was missing that page in my
book. Tom said the same thing. Didn't have the second page.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Save the tree.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to
move.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bilesman. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. So there is that. If you could give that. Care needs to sign that. All right, Sheriff, what else we got?
The only other thing, just for information, so this past weekend, Search and Rescue held its Search and Rescue Manager class. Very well attended. We had over 36 SAR managers from around the state, other than Sublette County, attend that. We filled the room over at the Search and Rescue building. Kenneth said it was a great networking. Kurt Wagner is a former deputy, a longtime search and rescue member out of Park County, came over to teach that class and just was well attended and just superb. So just wanted to pass that on.
Good.
Yeah. Our avalanche danger continues to increase. Right now, our Wind River, Wyoming range that surrounds both both sides of the county, we're right on the orange to red, which is intermediate to high, bordering on extreme. So very unfavorable conditions. We've already had two slides in the canyon, you know, this week alone. So with this heavy snowfall, expect some more. So we're trying to get the word out social media wise for people to just use common sense when going into the backcountry, whether you're skiing or snow machining or anything else.
And hope for the best.
Yeah. 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 No. Mother Nature. So, yeah.
Anything else?
The last thing, Reverend Anderson is here, and I'll ask her to join me. So, Reverend Jamie Anderson has been doing our religious services for our female inmates.
Hi, Reverend. How are you?
For the past 5 years, 4.5 years. And every year she touches base with me, and she's touched base with me the past 2 years on just concerns that some of the female inmates might have concerning treatment, standards, living conditions, and so forth. What seems to come up every year is the disparity between the women's accommodations versus the males' accommodations in the jail. Again, I know this has been brought up in the past. This is the second year that I've visited with Reverend Anderson concerning this. She wanted to come to approach the commission, and I informed her that what I would do was I would go ahead and take some measurements of the current facilities, the standards, and research those standards to see if we're, you know, if we're in compliance, out of compliance, and think of possible ways to remedy this. I'm not denying the fact that there are physical differences in the cell sizes, the day rooms, and everything else. However, the female population kind of it accounts for 25% of our total population. 75% is of course males, and that kind of seems to be going back 5 years. That's kind of the average. So. Yeah. With that being said, I'll let Reverend Anderson address you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I've been introduced. I served 7 full-time years as the priest at St. Andrews in the Pines Episcopal Church in Pinedale, and I retired a year and a half ago, but my husband and I remain living in the Pinedale community. A few years back, separately, 2 women came and asked me, a mental health counselor and the AA coordinator, came and asked me if I would be interested in offering religious services at the jail, because there was a large group of women there at the time, and they had asked for worship service and were told that it had to be done by a woman pastor only, and voluntarily. So I was interested, and I became certified and began going. At that first service, there were at least 9 women present. Their gratitude was overwhelming. I began to come every week, and we established a routine beside a very simple evening prayer service, and we would do a short Bible study. I would also allow all of them to have a short check-in time, just how's it going, what do you want to check in and share with us today. What surprised me at the start was how many of them complained about the unfair treatment they received compared to the men. So they told me that they had cramped space, lots of noise, no access to the out-of-doors, and rare access to the library and rec room area. So after a few weeks of listening to them, I decided to verify it for myself, whether they were accurate, and I scheduled a tour of the jail with Lieutenant Dunning, and he was very gracious to provide it to me. Sheriff Lear, again, can provide you, he has them, the more accurate measurements and the bed numbers. What I remember in the tour is that the men have a wide open space. They have windows all along the top. They have a walking track on the second floor. They have an open space on the bottom with several tables that had puzzles and games and books on them. When we then passed, and they have a one-door entry, and they can go right into the rec room in the library. We then passed through one hallway, and we came to the little outdoor square where they're allowed to go out with a basketball hoop. Then we passed through more doorways and some sliding metal doors, and we came in around to where the women are housed. It's in a dark hallway. Lieutenant Dunning explained that this is part of the inside elder jail part that was covered up when they annexed and put the new jail in. There are, I believe, three pods there. They have rooms. They have small beds or bunk beds in them. And then they have a shared small space with a small table bolted to the floor and a TV. When Lieutenant Dunning gave me the tour, he explained partly what Sheriff Lear referred to, besides that it was all enclosed when the new addition was built in, that they really didn't anticipate serving very many women or youth. One of the pods was set aside to be for youth. But from my start with the nine women, we have never had a week, I don't think, when there weren't women in the jail. Instead, they eventually sometimes house the women in the youth pod because they have such large numbers. Now, the women I meet with are impoverished. Many are in jail for months at a time while they wait for representation and court dates. I've had one woman spend a year there. Not I, but in visiting. There's a couple women right now that are 6 months in the jail. Without money and family, these inmates spend a long period of time there. And some of the valid complaints of the women, one is the boredom, the lack of chance to do much of anything. They have no chance to exercise. They're always in the artificial light. One of the things in talking with Sheriff Lear and Lieutenant Dunning and the deputies that welcome me when I come is it's very time-consuming and rather difficult for them to take the time to move the women out through the different metal sliding doors to give them access to the rec room library or to the outside area. And so they run out of time, basically, they say, to get the women their opportunities, their chances to get into those spaces. And they always have to share this smaller than a card table table, and otherwise they just lie on their narrow beds day and night, except for the AA group that comes in once a week, and I come in once a week. As Sheriff Lear referred to, as over the time I went to Lieutenant Dunning and said, could you at least make more women or more effort to get the women into the rec room and to the outdoor space, I do think that's slowly improved. And I went to Sheriff Lear, and I really appreciate that. I find the deputies treat me very well when I come. And honestly, the complaints from the women have gone down over the year. However, I'm bothered and I'm concerned about bringing equality into the jail. And so why am I here today? Because I made myself and the women a promise I'd do what I could to help from the first time I toured the facility. Because I also wanted to earn my credentials and be patient and work with Sheriff Lear on and the deputies with what we could possibly change and what would be needed. Because I wanted to learn, I wanted to show myself as steadfast and faithful and have some authority before I came to speak to you. And because I believe things are fairly calm right now in our county, I think things have stability with the change now from the 3 to 5 commissioners. Because now with the recent election passed, I believe you all are ready and willing to serve this county. So at the start of this year, I requested time to come speak to you, and here I am. So I come with two appeals for you. First, I ask each of you to take the time to schedule a tour of the entire jail facility and see for yourself the differences and any concerns and needs you notice. The second is to begin the courageous, thoughtful process of planning for and executing a remodel of the Sublette County Jail. And I ask this of you because it's right, it's fair, and it's legal for you to undertake this project. A few months ago, Bernice Sandler died. She was memorialized as the grandmother of Title IX. Her passion was equality in facilities and opportunities for women, especially in the arena of education and sports. And what fueled her fire were executive orders 11246 and 11375 that were signed under President Johnson that made it illegal for there to be gender discrimination in any facilities and opportunities for women or in any gender. And that certainly paved the way for sweeping changes and opened up the way for improved rights for women. And I think that should be an element in your consideration for the changes needed at the jail. However, I would consider it a personal, moral, and ethical failure if we waited for lawsuits before we corrected the disparity that we have here right now. So a few weeks ago, during our weekly check-in time with the women, I shared with them that I had requested time to appear before you as the county commissioners to speak with you and tell you about the unequal facilities at the jail. And the women all began to clap. And they were somber and they were serious and they were supportive and they were appreciative. And that's why I'm here today as a voice for them. So thank you for your time.
Reverend Anderson, first off, I'd like to thank you for your time, your willingness to volunteer and to help these ladies out. I appreciate your concerns. I will make a personal pledge and promise that I will very soon take part of that tour to investigate some of the things that you're speaking about. I think the commission as a group will certainly take this under advisement and await Sheriff Lear as he progresses on in terms of his investigation and measurements and work together to give us a report. But I appreciate not only your time, but your sincerity and your representing a needful population. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is to receive any monthly reports that we may have from whether that be commissioners, department heads, elected officials, whatever. So with that in mind, anybody would like to start on a report they have from the commission?
I only have one report. Again, I've been going to the Rural Healthcare Board meetings. I will again attend tomorrow night in Big Piney. There is a meeting in Casper on Monday with the migration corridors, and I haven't decided, but I'll talk to you guys about it's a Sublette County migration. I read it in the newspaper. I'm wondering why we were not involved in an invitation or whatever is going on, and I feel like maybe one of us should be there to listen to what they're talking about. With my trying to move forward with the wildlife fence between Big Piney and LaBarge, this may be the time to make some more contacts to get people on board to see that we're serious about, or at least I am, serious about moving forward with this fence. Because there's going to be quite a bit of opposition, I think, with the migration corridors. So I'm throwing it out to you guys. Do you have a problem with me going to this meeting?
I think you should.
I definitely think you should.
My only question is, Mac, is will you be back the next day for the other meeting?
What other meeting?
The 9 o'clock one with Sarah and Keith Compton.
That is on migration.
Yeah, just a second.
That is a meeting you schedule.
No, just a second.
Do I have my dates right?
No. We're talking
Tuesday.
Let me get to my computer here. The YDOT meeting is on Tuesday at 9:30.
Yes.
That here. Meeting is on Monday.
Right. So I'm just asking, do you have time?
I believe I will be back. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll double check.
Okay.
Because I want to be at that meeting.
I want you there too. I think that's important. This is something you've.
But I will, because I can't believe that Sarah's not going to be at that meeting on the migration corridors. But we'll wait.
You should have useful information to bring back to her.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But I'm going to talk to the Game and Fish,
okay.
Because I'm sure John will be there, or at least his representative will be there.
Now, this meeting is with the Game and Fish Commission?
The Game and Fish Commission. It's with all parties concerned with migration corridors.
Yeah.
And all the corridors they're talking about are antelope and deer in Sublette County.
Well, I appreciate you going.
Yeah.
After hearing that, I think it's great if you do go.
Well, the thing about it is that, yeah, because eventually they're going to come and.
And what you're saying is you wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't read it in the paper.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Anything else?
One suggestion, Mac, if you don't think you can get down there and back in time, have Tom drive you.
It's a thought, isn't it? I don't know if you can get jet fuel. You have to get jet fuel in Cheyenne. You can't get it in Sublette County. Do you feel better? That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, Mr. Bowsman.
I attended a conference call with the Senate staff on the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee in regards to what they're looking at, potentially offering a bill that would change the PILT payment in lieu of taxes formula. Probably would have very little, if any, impact on our county, but it would, if the formula is changed, the intent is to try and help counties with large acreages of BLM and populations under 5,000, which we don't fit. But it would be, it would not be taking money away from the big counties and giving it to the little counties. It would be adding some money to the total formula to give more money to those small counties under 5,000 population that their economy is largely dependent on recreation. And of course, they're like we are. They have obligations for roads and search and rescue and all the things that we do on the public land that we don't have a tax base to pay for. So it was no particular timeline. Also, they talked about SRS and the importance of keeping SRS funded, how it might be impacted with timber management as a Forest Service. If they get more active in timber management, will they be replacing some of the SRS funding with a share of the proceeds from timber management? If they can do that, so much the better. And that's where the counties used to get their money in the first place, was 25% of the proceeds off a timber project. And then the spotted owl came along and all that went away and they started the SRS program. So, spent some time on that. I learned yesterday that David Bernhardt will be nominated for our next Secretary of Interior. Looking forward to that. We're already talked to Jonathan at NACO, Jonathan Sheffield, and he will be trying to get a meeting scheduled with David Bernhardt when we're back there that first week in March. Don't know yet if that'll. We don't know for sure if he's not confirmed by then, if he'll meet with anybody or not. So that's kind of up in the air. Bailey is in the process of scheduling appointments for us with with CEQ in regards to their effort to revamp the NEPA process. We want to be sure that counties are engaged and part of that discussion with CEQ, which oversees NEPA compliance with both, be it with all federal agencies. So I believe that's all I need to report that amounts to anything.
Well, thank you for your continued efforts when you're with public lands and all that goes on. Thank you. Commissioner Noble.
I think just follow up with the broadband and where it's at now is Joanne's reached out to all the providers and told All West that they were the chosen one, and Visionary and Silver Star both were very positive in that response that they would like to continue to be part of it as much as possible or in the future. So had a good response from all three providers. Joanne has started negotiations with the CEO and Jack of All West, and that's moving forward at this point. I think other than being in Cheyenne, that's all I have to report.
Very good. Mr. Vickery?
Well, being in Cheyenne, I guess, would be the highlight of what I have to report on, and that was an enlightening experience for me from both the standpoint of the knowledge that I hope I have taken in, and the fact that it's amazing the differences in the new commissioners age-wise. There were people of my age and people of the 20-something age. So it was enlightening to talk to some of those folks who I have met in years past in other endeavors and strike up acquaintances and get some ideas of what they're going through in their counties. But I guess the thing that was really there that was disheartening from a standpoint of Pacific Power Corp and their announcement they're going to phase out the coal-fired power plants in the state of Wyoming. And I noticed they've already shut down, I think, number three in Kemmer.
Yeah, not in three.
So, yeah, so that's going to be a real deal here in the future. And I don't know whether, as a commission, we'll be able to have an impact one way or the other, but I certainly think we need to keep abreast of what's going on there with Pacific Power. And I guess that would be it.
I agree, major issue.
Mr. Chairman, one comment follow-up in Doug's on the power. Senator Dockstetter did get a bill introduced the day after we got home that would require an appraisal of, as an example, of the plant in Kemmer, and make it available to entities like co-ops if they wanted to take that plant over and keep providing coal-fired power to other places. I think it's important that we support that legislation. There's still a lot that's undetermined about. As they leave, does that include the transmission lines? Do they have to buy, you know, what would it really mean for another entity to come in there and compete? Because they would be in competition with Pacific Power, which would be a good thing in my mind. But the thing that was disheartening to me in that whole conversation that we listened to was the fact that Pacific Power is doing this because they're being told by the state of California that they won't buy anything but green power. That's what's behind it. So just so everybody knows, that's the situation.
Lincoln County and Uinta, the counties that have been impacted the most or possibly have all been in Cheyenne the last week lobbying for that bill that you talk and speaking in favor of it.
It's something that will have a major impact on the state of Wyoming.
Well, especially in 2022 when the subsidies disappear for wind and solar, we can expect a tremendous increase in our power bills.
That's
very concerning.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a major impact on the economy of the state as well.
Oh, no question about that.
Yeah. Mr. Crossan, would you like to make any comments, give a report, tell us how things are going?
Sure, I'd love to, actually. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Well, I feel like I'm finally starting to get my sea legs under me a little bit throughout this process, and Matt's been very good about keeping me apprised of the important civil issues, and I'm very grateful for his hard work on all of those. And it seems like we're doing good on most of those. There's a couple things we'll want to maybe discuss with you in the future at a later time. But so I'm trying to implement some policies, and I'm kind of going slowly as I do that. But for example, we're implementing a single point of entry policy, which is statutorily mandated for dealing with juvenile cases. And it's my understanding that has kind of been informal in the past, so we're going to formalize that to make sure we're in compliance with the statute. I met with school administrators to go over truancy and tobacco use and things like that, and with Sheriff Lair, some of his employees in attendance. I think we have a good roadmap forward to deal with some of those issues. I was kind of alarmed to learn that 75% of the kids in the schools are using vapes and things of that nature. So I think it's an issue we need to get ahead of. One thing I want to look at in the future, and I don't know if it's going to be feasible, is getting a truancy court set up, because right now we don't have a really good way to deal with it. And the statutes that address truancy are a real disaster. They actually mandate me to do things I can't do, like take these matters before the juvenile court. And we can do it with a CHINS action. We can't do it in a delinquency. There's legal distinctions there. So Sweetwater County has implemented what they call a truancy court. And basically they bring these kids into this court with the prosecutor and the district court judge, and they deal with them kind of informally. So I'm hoping we can maybe address that and see if that's something feasible for Sublette County. But other than that, things are going pretty well, and I'm looking forward to enjoying my job. The entire staff's been great to work with, and so I think things are going okay.
Well, thanks for your report. I know I have leaned on Matt pretty heavily and probably will continue to do so, and I appreciate all his hard work and good advice, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Helps clear up some confusion, not all of it. But
that's the intent.
Yeah. Hey, any other comments from the commissioners? We'll now go to public comments. Do we have any comments from the public? Wendy, would you like to?
Yeah, I have just a couple things. Dave Dorn will be here today, and he'll start working February 5th will be his start date. We're very happy to have him. We have a special meeting tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock in Marbleton, and we're going to be discussing possibly somebody going to the WAM conference. We're going to introduce Dave as the interim administrative director, approve our lease, which everybody's happy about with you guys, and then we're going to discuss some interview dates and times for the financial manager position. Then on Thursday, February 7th, we have a workshop also in Marbleton. We're going to discuss critical access hospital versus a freestanding hospital. We're going to discuss Marbleton Big Piney after hours. We're going to discuss EMS direction, and then Dave Dorn will have some thoughts on moving forward. And then we're going to have some board comments, because we got beat up pretty bad in the paper last week. And I'm going to refute a lot of those comments. Now, I made a mistake, and I'll own it. But some of the other things that were in that editorial were incorrect and should have been reviewed in the meeting minutes from the previous month, because they were discussed. So we're going to do that in our board comments. And let's see. I think that's about it. But we're moving forward in a positive manner, and we will deal with our little setbacks. So, with positive comments.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments for Ms. Bowman?
Keep up the good work.
Will you be there?
I'll be there definitely tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure about Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. Mm-hmm.
Any other public comments, Kay?
No, just listening.
Okay.
Thank you. I have a comment. Matt, you were talking about the meeting on Monday in Casper.
Yes.
We actually filed a protest on that, and they have agreed to put it on the line. So if the road's closed or whatever, it is accessible. It's going to be accessible. You'll be able to hear. You won't be able to make any comments, but you would be able to still sit in on the meeting and hear the comments and see the issues that they're addressing.
Yeah, thank you. I think if we're going to get involved in this, we need to be there in person.
Yeah, and we filed a protest because two of the four corridors are in Sublette County, mm-hmm. and they choose someplace where we can't be there.
Right.
So, just let you know that.
Okay.
That sounds like Pacific.
Any other comments? If not, I think we'll adjourn early for lunch. Reconvene at 1 o'clock. Mike, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Oh.